Hi everybody and welcome to the Big Debate Reading Prison. Today I have with me four UCM tutors who are ready to bring their ideas to the table. If you haven't been following our social media channels, then just to get you up to date, we've been running a competition for the past few weeks with local schools in Berkshire where pupils have been submitting their ideas of what they'd do with the well-known Reading prison site if they had a chance. For a bit of background, the building shut down in 2013 as part of the government's jail modernisation programme. Ever since then, it's been a site that no one can quite agree what to do with. Central to the site is a Grade 2 listed historic prison building arranged over part basement, ground and three upper floors. It also has an administrative building, amenities building, gym slash workshop and a number of more modern buildings. So we've shortlisted the best four entries from pupils, so now it's over to our tutors. Each tutor has been given an idea and it's now their chance to sell it to you, the listeners. They'll each have a strict 5 minutes to pitch the idea and then we'll open the floor for questions. At the end of this podcast, we'll be asking you to vote on your favourite entry. So without further ado, let me give an introduction to our first tutor. James Ritson is the programme leader for our undergraduate and postgraduate building surveying programmes. He's an architecturally trained building conservator specialising in sustainability and recording of the historic built environment. James, the floor is yours. Can you please introduce the pupil and school that you're representing and their idea? You have a maximum of 5 minutes. Go.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm representing Aaron from Wayne Gull's school in Reading. And I'm actually, the idea that's been presented is that the Reading prison should be turned into a community boarding school. The idea of this is that the cells could be transformed into bedrooms, other spaces could be created, things like learning centres and classrooms. The existing football pitch could be used for PE and games lessons, and other spaces be created from the building, such as using the walls for teaching how to climb, which I particularly like the idea of learning how to climb to get out of a prison. I think that's a really nice idea. And the existing buildings could be also joined in with new walkways so the students can see the other students learning and feel inspired by what they're doing. The pool could be added and built onto the grounds so the students who can learn to swim, because this is particularly important as many people in the area can't afford the expensive lessons. The idea of the school as a boarding house is that it will have little or no fees to attend. So by making the school, every child gets the equal opportunities, no matter how much money they have or whatever their background. This would allow all these students to have a chance of a better education and feel more valued and have more fun and education doing the things that they love. This would also mean that the children would not have as many problems and feel not left out from society, such as acting out, because they are part of the school life and they feel fulfilled and being able to develop and succeed to their full potential. The boarding aspect would allow students to get to know each other and get to bond and hopefully build lifelong friendships. It would also allow the students who struggle to get there and to succeed, who may not have the same opportunities as everybody else, but still allow these students to reach their full potential. UCM, and in particular, I love the idea of turning a building that was once built for punishment and rehabilitation into a place for learning and enhancement. The idea of a community building school to give all students, regardless of their background, a chance for an immersive learning and living environment to help them reach their full potential really touched me as someone who is involved in education. With so many parents now doing key roles, and as what we've learned over the last few months, key workers working outside normal hours, so childcare and family can be a real challenge. The idea that anyone will be able to have a choice of different types of educational opportunities, such as boarding schools, is such a great potential for the site. And to paraphrase Oscar Wilde, who was a former boarder of the site, the community boarding school could be a place to be yourself, look at the stars, and be a place to live and learn. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, James. I'm now going to hand over to the other three tutors and see if they have any questions. So, Natasha, have you got any questions for James?
Do you think that it's feasible to put a walkway in, giving that the pre-planning says that it needs to fit in with the Abbey Quarter. How could we make that happen?
Well, actually, within an abbey, you would have walkways. That was part of the problem with a cloister anywhere. Cloisters were part of, and actually that was part of the religious experience. I'm now bringing on to my history background. And to be able to transport yourself and to communicate is, I think, a really strong way of doing it. I just like the idea that taking something that was seen as hostile and doing something which was so randomly beautiful, I think, is a really nice way of looking at it. And I think the walkway idea, to be able to experience what everyone else is doing, just shows the idea of this, the idea of the project as being an equal opportunity. And that's what I like about that idea.
Thank you. David, do you have any questions for James?
Yeah, no, just very interesting. The proposal is very strong in terms of the cultural and historic aspects of the building. And it is a very centrally located building relative to the town centre of Reading. So it is, I think the proposal is very strong in that regard. The one area that is probably, and this is actually where I think, forgive me, Natasha and Jan and myself are probably different to James. And forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn in that sense, but I'm looking at this purely almost wearing a developer's hat. And I'm looking at the commercial aspects of the building beyond just the historic and cultural aspects to it. And it's fascinating to see how the Banksy mural or picture has suddenly appeared. There's a commerciality to that suddenly as well, which adds to probably a certain headache for the owners of that building at the moment when you look at the poor security guards who now have to stand outside it every day. But it is, had James's proposal considered the kind of commercial aspects to the best way to protect the future of this building, I think, given its unique nature, is to set it up in such a way that, yes, it respects the history and the culture, but also generates monies at least to use the developer's expression, wash its own face, if that makes sense.
Well, I did have a look at the panel, and I did realise that I was slightly outgunned on the economics front. So I think I'll hit you head on with some stats. If you put £1,000 worth of investment into education at the age of 10, it's worth £100,000 by the age of 20. And if we're asking people now to invest on social and economic sustainability as part of their investments, then what better way of giving the people who may be the most disadvantaged on giving them the most advantage? So if we think that, yes, it is economically costly to run it, the long-term benefit of including sport, education to the economy would be greater. And I would actually argue that we are already seeing now, through investments criteria, that people are asking to invest in environmental schemes. As part of economic development models, it's environmental and social sustainability that loans have been judged against and investments have been judged against. And I can't think of a better way of turning a place that was perceivably turned as a punishment place into a place of opportunity. And I think that, from an investment front, would be the way to argue it. And I think that's as much as a podcast needs, unless we want to start getting detailed with spreadsheets. Well, but I did realise I was going to get that one. Yeah.
Jan, do you have anything to add before we move on? I'd love to let you guys talk for ages, but in the interest of time.
It is obviously the financial side that I immediately picked on as well. Sorry about that. But just building on David's point, did your proposal have any ideas about what to do with the area, the rest of the site? You mentioned the existing building, but did you think about what you were going to do with the rest of the site, or is that just going to be left as is?
Well, I think obviously the rest of the site is being now split between the Abbey and the rest of the development. I think that really it's in a place where, in a time when we are seeing schools having their land reduced and their land taken away, I think actually there is a real opportunity to see what the benefits of doing it, you know, the opposite are. There are lots of other buildings Erin, this was a very short proposal and idea, and we haven't gone into that kind of granular detail in the sense of what each building would be and so forth. But I think that opportunity to see what can be done, and I would like to see from mine, is what you do in Germany, which is these models don't stop being and closed down as soon as the school. They're used in the evenings by other groups. They're used by the rest of the community over the weekend. As particularly if it's a boarding school, you can imagine these things being totally integrated within that. And the school becomes part of the community, not a separate entity that closes at 3:30 in the afternoon and then, you know, the gates are locked. I think that could be an interesting way. And perhaps that's how the site could be seen, as part of the community rather than just the school.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, James. I feel like we're off to a very strong start. Next up, we have Natasha Collins. So Natasha is the module leader for the UCM property management modules and has specialised in property management since 2010. Natasha also runs her own surveying firm, NC Real Estate, which specialises in asset management and property investment strategies. So Natasha, over to you for your pitch.
Thank you. So today I'm representing Elliot from the Down School, and he has a fantastic idea. And actually, when I started looking at Reading Prison, this was kind of the way that I was going in the first place. So the whole idea for this development proposal is to turn it into a place to help locals with addiction and homelessness. Now, there are around 600 homeless people in Reading, according to Shelter, and this will have increased during COVID, but we don't quite know how many that is. During the pandemic, the council were paying for accommodation, so full-time accommodation for 260 people, which roughly was costing between £50 to £100 per night. So the first thing we can take away from that is the fact that the council are currently running schemes to support homelessness and make sure that homeless people are housed. On top of that, Reading Council and St Mungo's have just started work on their pod homes. They have 40 in the cattle market site and they're spending roughly £2 million on that. But of course, 40 people versus 600 really isn't enough. So what we're looking to do, in accordance with the pre-planning that we already had a look at to see what we needed to put on the site, is that we're going to keep the building as it is. Now, I know that when it went through pre-planning, it was meant, they asked that we should be replacing the existing property with something of better quality that will enhance the area, but we actually feel that that would be far too expensive and that we would like to keep the building as it is. Instead, we are just going to take out the prison elements and we are going to make sure that each of the cell blocks is turned into bedrooms. We're going to have cold turkey rooms for people who just literally want to be able to, you know, go somewhere where it's safe and calm and they're not exposed to drugs and alcohol. We're going to put in a library and we feel that the library will be great for learning and academic resources for the local homeless population, who can use that if they want to upskill. As well, we would be opening that to the wider community on a membership basis. We're going to provide internet facilities, relaxing rooms. And then importantly is the fact that this site is also going to be rehabilitation. So what we want to have is on-site kitchens where we can give jobs to homeless people. Then through the kitchens, they are going to supply baked goods and food for the local market stalls that we're going to be having on a weekend. So in line with the pre-planning advice that we got, we need to be putting a cultural or heritage element into the site. So we're going to open up to markets at weekends. We're going to invite the local community down and we want to open up the site. So sports fields, markets, come on down, use the area, because there's 3.49 acres of site. We want to make sure that the local community can use it. We do feel that the building is of nice enough condition to just keep it as it is. In terms of making money from this site, because we've always got to think of it with an end in mind, you know, we can't just open it up and make sure that, you know, we're supporting these homeless people, but without bringing in money. So we're going to work with the local council because they've currently got funding to put this in place. We're also going to work with local charities. And if they would like to add more of their pods onto our site, or maybe not even pods, maybe they could rent out some of the cell blocks that we're doing up, for example. That's where we would get an income from. As a backup, and also something that we are researching at the moment because we might not need all of this space, under Matt Hancock's health infrastructure plan back from the 30th of September 2019, the Royal Berkshire NHS Foundation Trust has been given money to expand its hospitals. So as part of that, we're looking at working with them and potentially selling off part of the site to them so that we can provide facilities, but the NHS also have a place to expand. There's going to be ample amount of car parking here. It's really accessible, very close to the train station, so that we feel if we can get all of these local community projects, funding from the local council, funding from the NHS, we would be able to afford this development.
Great. Thank you, Natasha. Right. Jan, can we start with you first if you have any questions for Natasha? Sorry, Jan, do you have any questions for Natasha?
Sorry, I thought you said James. I beg your pardon. Yes, Natasha, I have some experience of this in my local area, actually, and I just wondered if you'd thought about the impact on the wider community and how you might deal with, well, in my area, some hostility in the local community about having this close to their homes.
So we're going to work with the local community and we want to show them how beneficial this is to have the local homeless population reintegrated with, you know, and helped and supported rather than just being out on the streets, but like to introduce them to community and say, hey, look, these are people too. You know, they're really supporting the community by learning, by being a part of, you know, these events that we're putting on at weekends. And so we think if we speak to the community and the local residents and really involve them in what we're doing, that's going to really help our case.
Thanks, Natasha. David, any questions for Natasha?
Yeah, well, may I just begin by saying, naturally, mine is the best proposal, so I'm going to really kind of slate everybody. So let me just begin by saying that I'm warning you now. No, sorry, Natasha. I have a couple of questions. I think it's a lovely proposal in terms of its community focus. There were a couple of things that struck me about it. It seems heavily reliant on local or government funding in one shape or another, whereas I'm interested in the building protecting its future, and I think the only way we can protect its future long term is to ensure that it has it's using that expression, washing its face, it has a commercial backbone to it. I think what James has would be part of, when I get a chance to talk about mine, you'll see there's a lot of what James was talking about comes into mind. The homelessness is a different thing again. So my biggest worry is that it's dependent on funding, government funding, and we all know how the political landscape is ever shifting. So currently there may be funding to set this thing up, but long term I would question whether the funding would continue to be there in one shape or another. Eventually local councillors would want it to be self-funding, and so the question is, would this be a self-funding initiative long term? The other observation,
David, can I interrupt you on Natasha ask that one, sorry, ask
okay,
that.
Yeah, I have one other point, but yeah, please.
So one of the one of the ways in which we anticipate seeing this, there's a lot of demand for social housing at the moment, and this falls under a social housing scheme. And there is a lot of finance out there from traditional mortgages or lenders for social housing schemes. So the way that we're going to do it is we would buy this site on development finance. We would do the development with the working in partnership with the local council, because we do understand that they have a focus on this, and working with them will mean that we manage to get it through planning a lot easier. We want to make sure that we are fulfilling what they have asked us to do. And from there, we would put it on a longer term commercial mortgage, which was supported by a social housing income. And we that would be the way that we would do it. So we would be getting rental income from the from our partners, whoever was paying to put to house the homeless people within the area. So we would be looking to do it through a supported housing way of a model of generating revenue, which is pretty popular at the moment based upon the amount of revenue that's gone around to do that. They tend to take 5 to 10 year leases as well. And so we would look to be putting in place as long a lease as we could, probably fixing the rents, because we know that, you know, we don't want to be generating huge amounts of income, but we also need to, as you say, wash our faces. So that would be the way in which we're going to.
Thank you, Natasha. David, you said you had another question. Can you make it within 10 seconds, if possible?
Well, I'll try. Just very quickly, the location, what Natasha is suggesting, to me sounds like a hybrid financing package that would relate to what is a very secondary location type property. This is, to me, all right, it's not prime, but it's stronger than that. Immediately on its doorstep is a brand new development of housing, and the local neighbourhood is changing radically, mm-hmm. going more upmarket. This is not going to sit well with that. I think you'll get a lot of local opposition.
Oh, I agree. But what's better than putting people in a place where they can aspire to be?
Yeah.
Nice. Strong point. James, anything to add before we move on?
Well, just one question is, you've linked addiction and medical issues with homelessness. And that negative connotation can be a bit of a sometimes they can be grouped together, and we have got a bit of a history in this country of grouping certain mm-hmm. stereotypes together. How would your scheme be related to people who are on the border of maybe homelessness because of financial difficulties, particularly with things like COVID, lack of work and so forth? And you've mentioned fixed rents and in a terms that I quite frankly have no idea what you were talking about. But in a sense, rents are increasing rapidly and so forth. We're seeing those other social. How does your proposal address those two very different elements of homelessness, from the medical drug addiction and so forth to the ones who are financially facing eviction and homelessness? Where do you see those two? Because they do seem to me to be, obviously, have end up the same net results, not having a roof over your head, so to speak, but can come from very different circumstances and may need very different requirements.
Exactly. We completely agree. That is why we want to leave the block structure as it is. And we're going to be looking at partnering with different organizations who work with different types of homeless and different problems and different challenges, and we can separate up through blocks as well. We want to have one designated space where all local providers can come to us and say, hey, we would like to take a part of this space. We would like this block, and at the moment it's really separated, so they can take that, they can integrate with each other if they would like. We're just going to be the facilitators, we're the developers, we're the site owners. We're inviting all the local charities, government, to get involved with us. Let's have that discussion.
Okay. Thank you
Natasha. Great. Well, next up, we have Dr. Jan Wilcox. So Jan worked in asset management for 20 years before moving into education. She now teaches both property and general management for UCEM and the University of Suffolk, and is an examiner for the Institute of Residential Property Management. She's also the co-author of Property Asset Management, and her next book, Real Estate the Basics, is due to be published early next year. Hi, Jan. Would you please tell us your idea?
I would love to. Not my idea. I have to give the credit to Rachel, who's 12 years old and goes to school at the Wren. Now, Rachel has identified the best use for Reading Prison as being a multi-space youth centre that will, in her words, be better than any before it. She says, currently we have hardly any youth centres in Reading. This is increasing the amount of children and youth hanging around dodgy estates and parks. This has also made the level of violence, drug use and gangs rise. Many kids in Reading struggle at home for many different reasons, whether it's family arguments or abusive parents. This causes them to spend all of their out-of-school time on the streets. The youth centre would be a place for these kids to come and hang out with other kids, whilst there would be adults who would be there for them to talk to if they're struggling or worried. Now, I have to trust Rachel's judgment here, as I don't actually know Reading. I've not been there for about 10 years, but I'm sure she knows best. She then goes on to identify the facilities that her youth centre will offer. These include a basketball court, a games room, keeping the football pitch but putting a platform on in there so it could be used for live music, a chill-out room with beanbags, sofas and chairs, a counselling area for children who are struggling with home life or mental health issues, some classrooms to support and help children who've been excluded from school or have disabilities, a sensory room, a quiet room, an arts and crafts room, a music room, a drama room, a movie theatre, a kitchen where chefs would teach children to cook and bake, a cafe, and finally a massive graffiti wall on the inside of the Banksy painting. Now, as a nod to the culture and the background of the prison, those rooms would be called things like the Wild Room, the Woolridge Room, the Dyer Room, the Joshua Room, even though we only did 2 weeks there. Rachel also suggested that some income could be obtained from renting facilities out to toddler groups and perhaps elderly and other community groups, therefore offering facilities for all ages, albeit underpinned by the youth centre. This is a really exciting vision for the former prison, but it also addresses some wider societal issues such as obesity, loneliness and poor mental health. But ideas like this cost money. There's apparently been a lot of interest in putting residential on the prison site to maximise value, which is unsurprising as house prices in Reading apparently have risen by nearly 16% over the past year. Lucky you, David. We accept that there's room for additional development on the site, but do not think it should be residential unless perhaps it's sheltered accommodation targeted at disabled youths who are unable to live alone. We think there's another way of capturing the value of residential development without ruining this impressive site. As working patterns have changed dramatically due to the pandemic, we think Reading Borough Council should revisit their accommodation strategy. They should be able to manage with considerably less office space due to hybrid working. They could then perhaps consider relocating all or part of their existing operation to Reading Prison, which is a mere 15-minute walk from their current offices in Bridge Street. This would then release all or part of their, not particularly attractive in my view, Bridge Street premises, which could be converted to residential use under permitted development rights. This would provide a significant sum of money that would help to fund the multi-space youth centre. Beyond the financial benefits of Rachel's idea, the youth centre could form a hub at the centre of the community, sharing facilities with other age groups and encouraging the mixing of generations, with this interaction leading to increased intergenerational understanding. Examples might include the toddler group playing with the elderly teaching basic skills such as sewing and cooking, and the youths encouraging the elderly to take an active part in sport. This has been carried out in various other locations in the UK with great success. With the proximity of Reading Borough Council's new offices to the youth centre, they should be able to work together to further develop the facilities and expand them to provide, for example, employment opportunities. The office development at the prison could showcase the best in sympathetic and sustainable construction with the addition of a zero carbon building. Put this bit in for you, James. The residential development of the Bridge Street offices could also be used as an exemplar of sustainable development that could be followed throughout the region. In summary, Rachel's multi-space youth centre will form the heart of a community hub for Reading that is built around it. Sharing the site with Reading Borough Council offices would make it possible to offer the community both leisure facilities and also the ability to carry out tasks such as dealing with council tax, housing inquiries and registering births and deaths. So Rachel's idea is a fantastic idea for this site, I'm sure you all agree. And it's really important that we listen to her and hopefully get to know her and her friends at the Multispace Youth Centre, as it's her generation that will be the decision makers of tomorrow. And they will, of course, also be dealing with the paying of our pensions.
Love it. Thank you, Dan. Brilliant. Right. David, can in the interest of time, can I ask everyone for just one succinct question for Jan? David.
Yeah, I'm just blown away that no disrespect to Rachel, that a 12-year-old would put together such a fascinating proposal. I think it's incredible. And I think what's really at the heart of it is the suggestion that the council lead the way in terms of offloading their existing space, which would generate monies to help fund the redevelopment of the prison. I think that's a brilliant idea. So I'm struggling now to find criticism, weakness in it. It is a very good scheme. I think it's innovative, original, and given the unique nature of this building, it needs that sort of thinking. And Natasha's was very, from a finance point of view, was very innovative. But I think Rachel's approach here of having the council lead the way on this is a really, really good idea. And it ultimately will create something that is functional, has purpose for the council, but also protects the cultural background and historical background, but also create something for the community as well. So I'm struggling. I can't criticise it. Sorry, I've got to pass over.
I was going to say David's stumped for words, but he's not quite stumped for words. He just can't think of a question. Brilliant. James, any questions?
My lack of knowledge on real estate investment makes Janet's new book sound very tempting for me. I like the idea of a site that was once used for such negative connotations being then used for something so positive. So I think that's one. How would this sit within the wider site, as in within the Abbey, the historic environments and so forth, where you may stereotypically see a possible conflict of use between those two quite difficult sites, granted divided by what is potentially a lethal and busy road, but how would you see those potential sites having conflict?
I think this is really a bit beyond me, James, because I don't have the familiarity with Reading that the rest of you do. But I think the idea of getting the council involved early is that they have the expertise and the knowledge, and they would be involved from day one to provide advice on how best to move the respective uses around the site. So we'd be very much relying on their expertise with our plans.
I will note that your student seems to have a better understanding of the permitted development rights than many of our first years. So very good. It's a very good entry on that front. I think David might be eyeing your student up for the real estate course in the future. Yeah.
She has a good teacher, James.
Yeah.
Natasha, anything to add?
Go on, Tash.
How long do you see this development taking? Because we know that councils take a long time to move offices. How long in the future is this planned for?
How long has the prison been vacant already? Remind me.
Since 2013.
It'll be quicker than 8 years, I'm sure. It's vacant 8 years already, so, you know, what's another 8 years between friends? It'll be less than that.
What a great answer.
I appreciate your point. It will take time, but the advantage of this proposal of Rachel's is that because the funding will be coming, we can get it forward funded against that and can get going and do it incrementally. It doesn't have to be a big bang, let's do the whole thing now. It can grow organically, as providing it's controlled, you know, from the top.
I think it's a great proposal.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, well done,
right.
Rachel.
Yeah. Well, David, you are last up. Just a reminder, you have only 5 minutes for your pitch.
Yeah.
Your entry is Aaron from Reading School.
Okay, so thank you for that. Essentially, Aaron's proposal, again, it is something of a mix of what we've heard already, it is a very complex building and an historic building, that it's not a straightforward proposal to come up with something that works. But again, Aaron anchors this around a commercial model, I would suggest, in that he looks at the history. He looks at the physical layout of the prison, the fact that there are different wings. For the A wing, there'd be a kind of a piece that looks at the history of the prison itself. B wing, again, also showcased the history of the prison, changing purpose over the years from an all-purpose jail to young offenders. The C wing then, where Wilde was held, could be dedicated to prisoners who were incarcerated there. A section of cells would then be booked. And actually, the C wing, if I understand Aaron's proposal correctly, it talks about creating essentially a hotel-type scenario so that people could stay in cells, and some of them, one of them would be Wilde's cell as well. So there has that sort of commercial aspect to it by having effectively a hotel, which is very central to Reading. I know personally hotel rates in Reading are extremely high. There aren't enough hotel rooms. If we ignore lockdown for a moment, that has been the case before lockdown, that anyone trying to stay at a conference or whatever in Reading. So there is a real commercial opportunity to create a hotel type operation out of the building. And Aaron has basically broken up all the different wings into different amenities. The D wing would have amenities which are along the lines of what Jan has proposed previously. So one wing would have the historical aspect and cultural aspects covered. Another wing would be focused on the hotel. And then the final wing would serve the community. So I think it's a very well-rounded proposal. And it's not dependent on just one use. But I think ultimately the hotel, the revenues generated from the hotel could, if correctly put together, underpin the other aspects to the development and protect its future. So given that the immediate location is lifting, it's beside the train station, it's becoming a very attractive part of Reading, being redeveloped, retail parks being cleared and apartment blocks springing up all around it. I think this is a more appropriate, simpler type model of development. And it's based, the funding for it is based off of a hotel use. So it's simple, it's clean, it's appropriate for the location, and it's not dependent on trying to get it through the local councils. I think one thing that did strike me about Jan's proposal, if there is a sort of a chink in the armor on that one, is it is a big, ambitious project for the council. No criticism meant, but I haven't seen that much evidence of this council being that proactive in terms of taking on something like this. So I think it could fall on that. Whereas this one, this proposal that Aaron has come up with, I think is a self-contained, simple proposal, and it's appropriate for the building. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Who would like to go first? Let's go, Natasha, if you've got anything for David.
It sounds like a really interesting development. It sounds like you're very much doing it for the money side of things rather than, you know, the local cultural history side of things. So if you are looking at attracting a hotel in, would that mean that you are simply going to take it back to shell condition and then sell it on to a hotel and let them fit out, or are you going to work with the hotel? How do you see your development firm retaining its cultural and historic standing going forward?
I think it would be essential that we retain the historic. And I think actually, if we, depending on the hotel model that we go down, whether it's in partnership or we just sell off that section, it's all up for debate. But if we assume for a moment that it's in partnership with a hotel operator, I think they would want to really play up the whole association and history as an attraction in itself and not see it as a negative. So I don't see that as being on the face of a problem. Whether that would mean stripping it back, there probably would be some practicalities because it's an old building, but you'd want to protect the fabric. I know James would be on my back if I started ripping everything out. That, I don't think that anyone wants that. You just wouldn't be allowed to do that. So ultimately, I think a hotel operator will want to play up what this building is. It's so unique.
And let's go to James then on that.
I don't personally know if I would like to pay money to be inside a prison to spend the night there. Certain dubious moments in my past, I might have been able to do that for free in other ways. However, one of the things that you said about adding a community element to it, to one of the wings, how would you show from a commercial point of view that community element being upheld rather than it just being another facility to be sold off to, the next gym membership or high expensive gym membership establishment or something like that? How would you be aiming to preserve that as genuinely as a community space?
It really just boils down to the if this is to be a standalone operation, there will be limitations in terms of how much profit can be allocated then to provide for community services. I think actually, the whole community side to it, Jan's stroke Rachel's proposal was far more detailed, but gave a lot of ideas in terms of what would be great to see in there. There's an element of partnering up at that stage on the community side to it with the local council and going into a joint funded operation there. Again, if you think of it, I think the strength of my proposal with the hotel is you have an operator in there. There's a whole section to that complex that is now commercially viable. Then what profits come off of it, there can be a shared arrangement with the local council in terms of providing for community services on the site. There's a over in Dublin in Smithfields, I don't know if anyone's been there, there's the old Jameson Distillery. And it's a classic case of that, where they created a hotel there, a beautiful hotel inside a beautiful old building. But then there were beside that community facilities that were created in partnership with the local authority. So I think there is, with this particular site, there will be a section to it that will have to be done in partnership with the local authority. But I don't, James, I'm sorry, I don't have specifics.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Right, Jan, you've got the last question of the podcast for David.
Oh, no pressure. My concern, David, is I live in Colchester and I used to go to adult education classes when I went back to learn French in this beautiful building, and it was converted into a boutique hotel. Great, the building looks wonderful. The only trouble is I can only afford to go and eat there once a year because it's so expensive. It's immediately cut out a massive part of the community that love the building because they can't afford to visit it. It concerns me that this could be the case with your hotel, that it's really only for those that can afford to pay to go and use it for a large part of it. How would you deal with that?
It does break back to, what will lead the whole proposal is what the night rates are, what people are willing to pay locally. And there is a lot of competition amongst hotel operators. While the night rates are expensive, they are competitive. And so I don't really see this being a boutique hotel type of operation. It will be more mainstream than that. Therefore, I think that the night rates will be a little bit more affordable than a boutique. Reading doesn't, in fairness to it, doesn't have a market for. If this was in Henley, Pangbourne, there would be a boutique hotel here, no doubt. But it's not that. It's inner city. Yeah, it is close to the train station, and it is a rising area. It's not boutique territory, though. So I think this would stay mainstream. Night rates and food would be for the wider market rather than the luxury end, I would suggest.
Well, thank you all very much. I am now going to give you each 30 seconds for your closing statement. Why should the public vote for your idea? And we're going to go James first.
You should how fabulous would it be that who, no matter how, whatever their background is, the child has a choice of a type of education that could support a family that may have to work nights, work shifts, and give them an opportunity, which was normally only for the very few in the country. So I think it's a fantastic opportunity, and what a better way to celebrate the future post-pandemic than to provide those people with a fabulous chance to have a future.
Strong. Who wants to go next? Let's go for Natasha.
I think that our proposal, Elliot's proposal, is the best proposal, because how incredible would it be to get a city down to zero homeless population? That's it. Everybody in the city has a home. We're welcoming to people who come in. They give back to the local city. The community is joined together. That is what we're striving for from our development, as well as helping other charities, the local NHS, the local council get involved in this building. We can support everybody who needs it, and that's why our development plan really should be the one that you vote for.
Thanks, Natasha. Jan, your go.
Rachel's multi-space youth centre is the obvious choice for this unique site. It not only provides young people with an alternative to hanging around dodgy estates, gang membership and drug use, but goes beyond that, forming a community hub to address some wider societal issues. Not just the homelessness that Tash has mentioned, but also wider issues, the obesity crisis, the loneliness epidemic, poor mental health amongst the young, the shortage of homes and the need for sustainable development. It is also self-funding. I urge you, therefore, to vote for Rachel's multi-space youth centre proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. David, end us off with your closing statement.
Frankly, we've saved the best till last. What can I say? I have 5 points as to why mine is the best, and Aaron's, I should say, is the best. Aaron's proposal essentially protects the future fabric and use of the building complex. It's a very well-rounded proposal. It doesn't depend on one single use. It's very diverse in that sense, so it will appeal to several communities within Reading. It is self-funding, and I think self-funding in the truest sense, and it's a simple funding model, and it contributes to the local community. That's why I believe mine is the best. Thank you.
Right, I would love to hear some more of you guys debating each other, but unfortunately we've run out of time, so we need to wrap up. Thank you very much to all of you for appearing on this podcast. Now it's over to the listeners to vote on which idea they like best. So if you're listening, you can do that by heading over to our competition webpage, which is www.ucem.ac.uk/competition. And there'll be a poll there that you can vote on. Voting will close at midday on the 17th of September, and we will be announcing our winner shortly afterwards. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and bye-bye. Yes, Jan.
Just like to say it's my birthday on the 17th of September, so, you know, I'd like to just want to say.
Wow.
Lovely, but it's true.
Okay, well, we'll see how that one goes. Thank you, guys, very much for taking part in this.